You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Monday morning, September 30th, 2024. Only 36 days left till Election Day. Another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network or on the Civic Media app, on demand by podcast or on social media. Thanks for starting your day right here. I've got a question for you and for Greg Bach, standing by in Waukesha. Which football team was working harder to give away that game yesterday? Was it the team missing field goals and getting passes picked off, or the one that built a commanding lead and could barely hang on to it? A real barn burner there that you had at Lambeau Field against the Packers and the Vikings. Mr. Bach, good morning.
I would say, honestly, like, and it's not because I'm from Wisconsin and I guess I'm a de facto Packer fan, but I would say the Vikings did their best to be like, hey, you know what? We're going into like the second quarter with like, what was it, a 28-0 lead?
28-0, yes.
Let's just absolutely poop the bed for the rest of the game and just see what the Packers can. And then the Packers were like, hold my warm beer. We're going to not do it.
Yes. Now, they did make a bit of a run there. But again, they were the team getting in their own way. I had the experience, as I teased on Friday, of being in the Twin Cities and watching the game. Let me put quotation marks around watching the game with a bunch of Minnesota family Vikings fans. There was also a baby shower there as well. And again, first off, they scheduled the baby shower for noon on a Sunday of a Vikings-Packers game. So you already see what kind of fans we're dealing with here.
Nobody likes this baby.
Yep. It was all about the baby. Nobody likes the game. They're such bandwagon fans that at best, they occasionally looked at a little TV in the kitchen. And even with the lead up 28-0, the talk was, they'll probably throw the game away. This is not going to stand. They have been so conditioned for the Vikings to collapse that they couldn't even really be happy at 28-0. And as the Packers stormed back, they were like, we're totally going to lose this thing.
Okay, so I haven't been a football like fanatic for some time now. Weren't the Vikings good at one point? I mean, I remember the Vikings always trouncing the Packers.
Yeah. I mean, look, everybody has their glory years. And, you know, for me as a kid in the 70s with Fran Tarkenton and Bud Grant, you know, they were a juggernaut. That's just that they could never win the Super Bowl. And that still has some fandom PTSD that affects, you know, Vikings fans to this day.
Yeah.
And then since that time, they've had, again, some great runs. Think of like Randy Moss, for example. But again, they would always collapse in the playoffs or you know, choke away at the final game of the regular season and miss the playoffs or something. And it is now just such a hallmark of the team's fans that even though they know things are going well, Sam Darnold is having a really great year at quarterback, but this is like the fifth team he's been on. So they're all like, oh, we're really happy for him, but it's not going to last. They're just so not capable of being, you know, cocky and confident right now, even at 4-0.
That's not the Midwest way, baby. That's not the Midwest way. My nephew turned 3 this past week, so we had a birthday party yesterday, and it was like 11. It started at 11 o'clock, and we were at a park in Franksville that shows Packer games. They like have a tent and a flat screen TV, and we were all outside. We were outside, and then, and at one point, someone goes, hey, we could just move the party into the tent. I'm like, yeah, you're wearing a Packer hat and a Packer shirt. I know why you want to move into the tent. And then at one point, we wanted to open presents for him. And we were like standing there. And one of the moms looks over and she goes, where's my family? And they're all just staring at the game. We're like, would you just for like 5 minutes, 5 minutes.
I have the solution to that. Schedule the game at 3, or schedule the party at 3:30.
Right, exactly.
Just my 2 cents.
Yeah.
Does that make me a terrible family person? Maybe, but I also know what people are going to do.
Yeah.
Welcome to America and the NFL. All right, let's see what we're covering today here, because it's not all nearly as happy. Oh, and I want to say good morning to Mary on Facebook, who sends a greeting to us, and you can as well on Facebook or on YouTube. Or you can call or text us at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Coming up today, we'll talk about, you know, how cranky old racists, and boy, if there is one thing that will get cranky old racists happy, it's the talk of a purge.
Ugh.
What if we could for just a day, for just an hour, Trump was saying over the weekend, just let police run rampant and it's gonna get ugly, but it will get rid of all the crime. I'm like, who let you out of the movie theater? You understand the difference between a movie and reality? But no, apparently we do not. And that was just a sample of what we were dealing with in Prairie du Chien on Saturday from the former president. Also, while Trump and company try to motivate people to vote by using fear, by lying to them, it does still seem like many, if not most, voters are going to make up their minds using the real world, the one that's in front of them, especially the one with politicians who want to control their bodies but have no plans to improve the lives of children and families and the economy. Meanwhile, other politicians do have a plan and do want people to have control over their own body. We're going to talk in our second hour to State Senator Kelda Royce about the issues important to those who want to vote for something, not just against. And Civic Media News Director Terry Bell has 3 things that you need to know to start the week. The Up North News Daily Newsletter, put together by Christina Lurie every morning, is out with a reminder that the 2024 World Dairy Expo starts tomorrow at the former Dane County Coliseum. And she writes about how the main draw is the dairy cattle show. It is the largest and most prestigious in the world. Cattle from all over North America, Europe, Australia come and are exhibited. Also in today's newsletter, an opinion column on the importance of having a teacher in the White House and why a Vice President Walz would send a strong positive signal to students and young people at a time when they are facing messages of hate like never before. So you can sign up for our unabashedly Wisconsin news. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe in the top banner of the homepage to learn more. But first, before we get to remarks by the former president and other headlines, let's return to the Brewers just long enough to make a note that the Brewers did drop the final game of the regular season to the New York Mets yesterday, but still captured the Central Division title by 10 games. A 10-game lead over the Cubs and the Cardinals, who tied for second. And that feels really good when you consider where the team had been. Let me find somebody's social media post said it very well here. The Brewers officially have more wins than they did last year after losing Corbin Burnes and Brandon Woodruff to injury, losing their manager to a division rival, losing Stearns to the Mets, losing Yelich to injury twice, and starting a ton of rookies. Anybody tell me why Pat Murphy isn't the runaway manager of the year? I couldn't agree more with that post.
I absolutely agree with that, but the bitter little Midwestern boy that I am, I'm going to say they'll find a way not to give it to him.
It's possible.
Yeah.
You know, I know, but my goodness, nobody can disagree with the caliber of a season that he had here. So here we are with, the Brewers were beaten by the Mets 5-0. The Mets then had to fly right back to Atlanta for a doubleheader today, two games that were washed out last weekend when the hurricane came through and decimated parts of Georgia, North Carolina, Tennessee. So they're going to make up the games, and it's that doubleheader today that will decide who the Brewers are playing tomorrow. Let's see. It's really pretty simple from a Brewers standpoint. If the teams split the doubleheader today, we're going to get the Mets. So the Mets flew down to Atlanta, and they'll fly right back here for tomorrow to start the season if that doubleheader today in Atlanta is a split. If either team, the Mets or the Braves, win both games of the doubleheader, then the loser of those two games is out. Arizona is in, and it's Arizona that will be coming here tomorrow. So, again, if it's a split, we get the Mets. If either team sweeps, we get Arizona, and it starts at American Family Field tomorrow. And so we get to talk about playoff baseball. Again, given the kind of season that we had, totally works for me. Really works.
I'm about it. I'm all about it, baby.
Yeah.
Also, my Cubs friends were like, I'm like, sorry about your season. I'm like, I really wasn't watching this year. I'm like, of course you weren't.
Sure. So you were a little, I was going to say you were a little disappointed by the SNL 50th season premiere, or maybe a lot of disappointed?
I was a lot of disappointed. It was not good. It was not good at all. It was the cold opener.
Come on, Jim Gaffigan, Dana Carvey.
That's the thing is.
Maya Rudolph.
I know, but I knew that those things were happening. I saw that, and I was excited for it. But, you know, like I said to you, this is the 50th season. This is a presidential campaign, so we're going to see a lot of celebrities doing walk-on roles and cameos. And you're going to see a lot of underusage of this cast, especially the new cast. And the sketches, in my opinion, were not great. They kind of went nowhere. And I was Jelly Roll was the highlight. Jelly Roll, especially that second song about getting clean, was beautiful. Yeah. But even Weekend Update was severely disappointed. I was very disappointed in it. I was too.
It had very much a 2016 vibe to it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Hillary and Trump, you have to make fun of them evenly because they both have issues. I don't think that that's necessarily the way you feel. You don't have to play it safe. You're Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, I mean, you could absolutely make fun of the candidates. That's fine. But they threw in Haitian immigrant jokes and immigrant voting illegally jokes that just didn't seem to fit. And it only pushed the lies of the narrative of the right, because they're so ridiculous that it's like, oh yeah, they're gonna watch and go, see SNL gets it.
Yeah. Yes. So again, with these 5 weeks to go, SNL, get it together. That's all we want to say. It's your 50th season. Act like it. We'll unpack more of what the former president had to say about immigrants and more in Prairie du Chien and elsewhere coming up next. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Monday morning, when you're here, you're up north. Live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, you know, it might be a little loud and rock and rollish for a Monday morning at 6:21, but why not? Why not give it a try? A little Prince from 1984, the number one song this week in 1984. We'll have more of today's history lesson coming up in 30 minutes here on Up North News Radio. Should not forget the Wisconsin Badgers in L.A. taking on USC, where the crowd at the Coliseum actually booed their home Trojans off the field at halftime, having committed 3 turnovers and really struggled against the Badgers in the first half, down by 11 points. But then they roared back, and they roared back quite nicely, thank you, to easily win over the Badgers, 38-21. The Badgers will be at home this coming Saturday to host Purdue. Well, I guess we can't put it off any longer. When the major presidential candidates come to town, you have to make note of it. And we did make note aplenty why Donald Trump was coming to Prairie du Chien. There had been an incident there involving a Venezuelan immigrant. And that has been the mode of the Trump and Vance campaigns, to go to places where they feel like they can get the most out of a message that targets migrants, targets minorities at large, including big city crime, anything that plays off of a grievance, and anything that may play to a crowd that wants to believe some of the things that just aren't true, like about crime being rampant when it's actually down. Now, it was framed by many in the media as, quote, you know, a dark speech on immigration, using Trump's own word that, you know, the speech had taken a dark tone. It was not a dark speech on immigration. It was not a strong speech on immigration. Again, if you go back and either listen or read the transcript, you really can only come away with the fact that it was a rambling racist rant, worthy of any, you know, increasingly elderly member of the family at the Thanksgiving dinner table, that you'll do anything desperately to change the subject, or you'll just get up and leave, as a lot of people did during his rallies lately. It's like they've heard the same shtick. I mean, obviously some people are still buying into it, but you can continue to see people leaving. Now, even in the backdrop of people behind him, you see people go and leave. In fact, Greg, the one example, and I'm going to have to make you go backwards a bit here compared to the list I give you. Give me a signal when you got the one about Trump admitting not wanting to pay his workers overtime. Because before I get into all the racist rants, if I'm going to mention all the people who left, there's that at one point he talks about not taxing overtime pay, which to him is a big deal. But then, of course, he always slips up and tells the truth about himself. And when he said this about overtime pay, all the crowd behind him that was really happy, smiley, if you look at the photos in the video, got a little less so. Give a listen.
And, you know, it's going to lead to great things. A lot of people don't give. I know a lot about overtime. I'd hated to give overtime. I hated it. I'd get other people. I shouldn't say this, but I'd get other people in. I wouldn't pay. I hated. This is going to lead to a lot more. I think it's going to be economically positive, but I'm not even doing it for that reason. I'm doing it because, like the no tax on overtime, it's something so good.
He can't help himself. He's going to tell you what he really thinks, and what he really thinks is he does not want to pay his bills. He doesn't like paying regular wages, much less overtime wages, and that's not an opinion. The court records are filled with instances of him being sued in one way or another. But, of course, the main event here was, and I'm going to play three clips here in quick succession, about this was the dark tone of his speech. This is the person asking you to make him president, who says that he can round up millions of undocumented immigrants. And now, according to J.D. Vance, legal immigrants can be rounded up as well, just because we feel like it. So here's some of what Trump had to say about how they'll walk right into your house, for example.
Commit crimes like us. No, no. They make our criminals look like babies. These are stone cold killers. They'll walk into your kitchen. They'll cut your throat.
Here's another one, because he sprinkled these all throughout his speech. Again, the immigrants are coming to kill you.
Our country, she's letting in people who are going to walk into your house, break into your door, and they'll do anything they want. They'll do anything they want. These people are animals. She's released people. These people are animals. Now they'll say, oh, that's a terrible thing for him to say. No, no. These people are animals. These are stone cold killers. They're heartless, and they wake up the next morning and they don't even think about what they did the day before. These are real killers. These are real killers. These are the worst. These are people that have been in jail for many years.
So all he's got is the violence. But if you're not buying into the violence, if you actually don't happen to think immigrants are walking into people's front doors right now on a regular basis, well, then he'll hit you up with the other part of the racist coin, that it's not about the violence, but it's about changing our culture.
Look, you got to do what you got to do. You got to get these people back where they came from, You have no choice. You're going to lose your culture. You're going to lose your country. You're going to have crime, the likes of which nobody has ever seen before.
Because, again, immigrant crime, he says, is out of control, when in fact, immigrants commit crimes at a far lower rate than white Americans do, and crime is down in this country. Let me skip ahead. I just want to share one more. Just again, what you said, Pat, rambling, racist. We heard the racist part. The rambling? Oh, yeah. Let's talk about Donald Trump's beach body for just a moment. Why? Because Donald Trump likes to talk about his beach body. You know, he says he's a billionaire. He says he doesn't have to be doing this. I mean, give a listen of how selfless he is for you.
I will keep on fighting for you and for this country that we all love. That's why I'm doing this. I tell you what, I had a good life before I did this. Nobody was shooting at me. I had a hell of a life. Oh, those locations, those beautiful. I could have been sunbathing on the beach. You have never seen a body so beautiful. Much better than Sleepy Joe.
Again, the fascination with Joe Biden, it's absolutely killing him not to run against Joe and instead to say, you know, I don't have to be in your little podunk town here. I could be on beaches around the world right now with my amazing body doing things that he used to do, you know, like grab women however he wanted to with no consequences whatsoever. Back with more after this. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Talk about James Dean in just a sec here, the subject of that Eagle song here on Up North News Radio. Tomorrow on the program, we'll talk to Hans Breitenmoser. We'll hear from White House domestic advisor Neera Tanden about rural investments in Wisconsin. We'll, of course, on Tuesdays, talk to Christina Lurie, who puts together our newsletter, Sherita Booker, our social media manager, all of that tomorrow here on Up North News Radio. But getting back to things this morning, OBGYN, candidate for Congress, and friend of the show, Kristen Lierley, joins us now from beautiful De Pere. Dr. Lierley, how are you?
Good morning. I'm so well, although my voice is a little tired from yelling defense a lot yesterday.
I was going to say, was the debate Friday that stressful for you? But no, the Packer game was probably more stressful than the debate was.
It was a big weekend. We had the debate. We hung out with Big Gretch in Green Bay on Saturday.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And then, of course, the game yesterday.
Wow, you were a busy one. Thank you for being here, despite doing what you're doing to your voice.
Well, it's a joy. And, you know, there's more coming up. We've got a big press conference tomorrow, Law Enforcement for Lierley, where we've got Attorney General Call coming to Green Bay. We've got two of the police officers who were there on January 6th to talk about their experiences. Former Sheriff Dave Mahoney from Dane County, who's also the former president of the National Sheriff's Association, and my partner, Craig, who's a police officer up in this area. So we're going to have a great conversation about law enforcement and what we can do better and how we need to support our law enforcement here in the state.
That's awesome. You know, I talk a lot about polling, and for people to understand the difference between, you know, a reputable poll, one that's got at least, you know, an attempt at some science behind it, and others that are just pretty much internet contests and just, you know, you have to be mindful of the source. So being mindful of the source in this one woman opinion poll, Dr. Lierley, who do you think won the debate on Friday night?
I feel as though I answered all the questions. Okay. And that was not the case for my opponent. I feel that not only did I answer them, but I answered them well and in a satisfying way. And the response from the crowd was incredible. I was really moved by this group of women. These four young women came up for a picture afterwards. They had driven up from Kimberly. They said, "We drove an hour to be here. We are seniors in high school. We're going to be voting for the first time this year. And you inspire us. And we wanted to be here to support you and to meet you." And I thought, man, that's what this is all about. This This election is a youth quake. These young people understand what's at stake here, and they aren't afraid to use their voices.
No, they really are not. Again, by comparison to, you know, my generation that really just, I mean, they embraced apathy. They just chased after it and said, what can we do? We want to do more to show that we don't care. And now, here, it's so much refreshingly different, and I absolutely love that. But it is, I think, as well, a reflection on the leaders that they had to deal with, mm-hmm. you know, and the kind of leaders you had in the early 80s versus right now, you know, from people like you are a night and day difference. Mm-hmm. Now, having said that, there's still plenty of people who are quote unquote leaders who are, shall we say, not inspiring, or as we said in the last segment, kind of an inspiring with hateful rhetoric or division or anything like that. I mean, and it's not just a national political thing. You know, Alicia Saunders texts into the show. Do you think Trump or Vance will come to Kaukauna after the stunt that Representative Dave Murphy pulled last week, which I looked over and Lee Snodgrass, an assembly rep from the Fox Valley, pointed to a statement that Dave Murphy had put out. And Lee Snodgrass writes, State Rep Dave Murphy is super proud of his Irish heritage. Too bad he has no knowledge of how the racism and lies told about the Irish immigrants impacted their treatment as new arrivals to the U.S. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't agree more. The people who have forgotten how their great-grandparents were treated is stunning.
It is. And this press release that Representative Murphy put out is just loaded with conjecture and misinformation. And, you know, as a leader, we are held to a higher standard. You don't just get to assume something has happened and point a finger at people and pass judgment in that way. That's what due process is. That is, this country is set up to make sure that, yeah, if somebody does something wrong, there is a process in place, but it needs to be followed. And that is the opposite of what Representative Murphy did here. And, you know, furthermore, this is a guy who has failed to respond to his competitor, to his opponent's repeated requests for a debate. He doesn't want his opinions and his thoughts to be shared because he doesn't have a plan. He has just been given this seat. He's had no serious competition. He has not been held to any sort of a standard by the people he represents. That's happened all over the state, but it's different now. Now that we've got new maps and we've got competitive districts and candidates who are putting in the work, having the conversations with people, we are going to see a different level of leadership come November 5th.
Yeah, for folks who didn't know the background, Murphy put out a statement about a particular crime and made reference to a Venezuelan gang. Fox 11 asked Murphy if he had any proof. His retort was, we didn't say that they were. We alluded to the fact that they could be. We didn't say they were. The thing that drives me to that conclusion, that's obviously very possible, is the fact that, and da 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 da. So mm-hmm. It's like, we didn't say it, but we alluded to it with no basis in fact whatsoever, because that's really all they got right now. And I would expect we're going to hear the same thing tomorrow. Tomorrow is the vice presidential debate between Republican J.D. Vance and Democrat Tim Walz. I joined the chorus of people who just absolutely threw up their hands in frustration when CBS News said over the weekend that they weren't going to fact check this thing in real time, much like the first debate between Trump and Biden, which was a disaster. Biden didn't help himself at all, but the format was an absolute disaster. And things could get really ugly tomorrow, though I got to say, I've got a lot of confidence in Tim Walz, no matter what the rules are, that he'll be able to get a positive message through.
I think he's just going to be his folksy self, and that just really works. They're so diametrically opposed. It's going to be a very interesting event.
I still think, don't you think, Greg, as well, it would be great. I mean, I don't know that you can pull it off, but just at first, Jim Gaffigan comes out when they introduce him. And as the moderators are looking a little confused, Tim walks out and goes, I'm sorry, I couldn't resist. I couldn't resist.
And also, I just wanted to, my biggest quibble with the SNL, not the biggest quibble, but it's an 11% rebate at Menards. They kept saying 10%. I'm like, it's 11. You don't know us. You coastal elites.
Get it right.
Yeah. Get it right. Yeah. Come on. And well, also, it's not actually a rebate. But no, that's a conversation.
Not
that's a conversation. Conversation for another time about how a billionaire runs his operations. So you're in Green Bay, and when you have a game, a Packer game like this, where you know the other team jumps out in front, has a commanding lead. If I'm not mistaken, I'm sure it's not just here in the Chippewa Valley. Packer fans, they continue to watch the game, right? They continue to root for the team, because I was describing earlier how the Vikings fans I was with, at no point when the Vikings had built this lead were they confident. They were like, oh, they'll find a way to screw it up. And of course, they almost did. Whereas Packer fans would be like, okay, well, let's keep going. We can get this thing.
I mean, if you look at the stats, we actually did really well. So if it wasn't for those two missed field goals, which, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But but we were in it the whole time. Right till the end, we were cheering. People were not leaving the stadium. It was an exciting game. And at that point where they got that two-point conversion, I mean, the bowl was on fire. It was so exciting. So, yeah, Packer fans are in it because Packer fans love it. But can I tell you the best thing about yesterday?
Tell me the best thing about yesterday.
Oh, my gosh, Pat. Bart Starr is my very favorite Packer forever. Mm-hmm. I grew up in the Bart Starr era. Right. He was the coach. It was after he was an incredible player. And, you know, he wasn't the most successful coach. He also wasn't positioned to be the most successful coach, but he was still like such an incredible icon and a community figure in the Green Bay area. I got to meet Bart Starr Jr. yesterday and spend some time talking about all of this and politics and how we can do community building together and all the work he's doing in Birmingham, Alabama, and how he loves this place up here where he grew up and how fond he is. It was, I'm just going to carry this conversation in my heart forever. It was such a beautiful, important moment.
Well, that's so nice.
Yeah.
Glad you got that moment.
I love how much you love life.
I know.
Seriously, it's just inspiring. You're always so excited, even at 6:45 in the morning.
On a Monday, yes.
On a Monday.
I know. Other people are like that, too. There's Alicia Saunders, who's putting on YouTube here, I love our amazing paper maker kids.
She's saying that to get under my skin because I'm from Kaukauna.
I know. Yep.
And there's the rivalry.
Yes, yes. But she noted that tailgating was a lot of fun yesterday. And then she sends this note that you're going to have to explain to people. Happy birthday to little PK.
Oh, it's little Pat Kreitlow's 16th birthday today.
To be clear, again, standard disclaimer, I did not know Kristen Lyerly 16 years ago.
Yeah, I was going to say, we need some...
The resemblance is absolutely frightening. So
I have a child who is Pat Kreitlow's clone.
It is.
I mean, physically...
When I met him the first time, I thought I'd stepped through a time portal or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was mutual. We were sitting at Culver's together, all eating the same type of meal. Yep. And they were looking at each other, and you could feel the energy coming off of it.
It's just like I wanted to reach over and like, is this a hologram? What is this? he had the same glasses, the same hair, the same bowl haircut. He was smart. He was sassy. I was like, this is crazy.
I just think of that scene from Forrest Gump where they both sit down to watch TV and tilt their head the same way.
So, anyway,
yes.
But no, what this means is having a fourth and final son who's a driver.
The caboose. After all of these years of driving them around and all of the stuff we've had to do as parenting. Yeah, yesterday or tomorrow he takes his driver's test and then he's going to drive off into the sunset.
You have three other boys. How did you not as a mom be like, all right, why don't you drive them around? Like, it's like, well, as soon as the you got two of them are driving, like, all right, that your chauffeurs now. I'm going to relax a little.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
Okay.
But as a parent, though, you like that car time.
Because true. Okay.
They're stuck with you and they have to talk to you.
Yep. That's right. That's why we did it.
I'll give you five bucks if you don't look at your phone on this drive.
No, That was not an issue for us back then. But I saw a video clip, or one of my daughters sent me a video clip of a young babysitter complaining that she couldn't reach one kid or the other, even though she knew they were at the house, and she was giving one of them a ride to school or something like that. And she was saying how there just needs to be a phone that stays at the house. Like, no matter who's there answers it, it never leaves the house.
And they, what a novel concept.
What a novel concept. And I'm like, yeah, you could, I don't know, bolt it to the wall and put a 6-foot cord on it, you know? I thought that was just hilarious that we're explaining the concept of a house phone to kids mm-hmm. nowadays, or to young people nowadays. But yeah, it is what it is. Do you have a busy week ahead?
Yeah, well, we've got that law enforcement event on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
I go to Washington, D.C. on Friday to do some fun stuff. We've got a bunch of getting out and talking to people. We've got a big teacher canvassing event on Saturday. It's nonstop. Our foot is on the gas. The whole campaign is just chugging along. And the response that we're seeing from people is so exciting. That is putting all the fuel in my tank.
I don't think there's anything that's actually been draining the fuel. It feels like you have figured out perpetual motion. Yeah. You know,
you're running on a fuel source that is endless, like a lithium ion battery that doesn't need recharging.
Right. This is clean energy at its very best.
Wow.
She doesn't even use a crutch. I would use a crutch a glass of bourbon every night gets me through it. I don't even, in the couple of years I've known you, I can't even envision you like exhausted over a glass of wine or holding out the empty glass of wine. Kreger, fill it up. Fill it up high. It's just, this is just you. There's nothing supplementing it.
I was saying to folks at one of the campaign events we did yesterday, they said, when do you take a vacation? Like, when do you get time to yourself? And I said, this is it. This is what I choose to do during my free time because I love it. I love listening to people. I love thinking about ways that we can make the world a better place. I love forging those relationships because everything comes out of those relationships. So it's cool because I can go to work and take care of my patients. Then I can campaign and fill my bucket. Like, it's so great.
So we'll be back with our favorite weirdo, Kristen Lyerly, along with Selena Heller for today's history lesson. Just ahead, you're up north.
I was a sailor. I was born upon the tide. With the sea I did abide. I sailed a score.
Chris Christopherson doing the Highwayman, along with...
Johnny Cash, Willie Nelson.
Johnny Cash. I'm missing one.
And Merle Haggard.
Boy, you're good.
Chris Christopherson passed away over the weekend. The songs that he put out. And very few where he was the singer, but as a songwriter, he had some amazing lyrics. And I don't have time to read the article, but there's almost no better writing than obituary writers about musicians. And the way they describe Chris Christopherson songs in the New York Times a bit, so good. So Chris Christopherson, happy trails.
It was Waylon Jennings, not Merle Haggard. I didn't want anyone to correct me. I made a mistake.
You're right. Yep. Thank you for the self-correction there. Selena Heller is with us now. Ms. Heller, how are you? And, well, how's Whiskers, since he's taking up most of the frame over here?
I know. He's up and at him this morning.
Yeah. You have a good weekend?
Good. Yes, it was very nice. Got to be outside and, you gotta enjoy the fall. Lovely, beautiful 80 degree days while we're here.
Just so gorgeous. All right. Let's. We mentioned or we listened to James Dean, the song by the Eagles earlier. James Dean was killed in a car accident on this day in 1955. Such a legend for somebody who was only 24 when he passed away.
Wow.
Meanwhile, today's birthdays include Fifth Dimension singer Marilyn McCoo. This is one of my favorite voices in all of pop music.
I do remember when she hosted Solid Gold.
Yes, she did a wonderful job. Really like her. Same type of generation. Happy birthday today to Johnny Mathis, who is 89 years old today. And here's part of his duet with Denise Williams.
Yes, it's over. Call it a day. Sorry that it had to end.
this way.
It's tough. Can anybody do an impression of Johnny Mathis where they're not shaking their throat like this? I mean, can you? The natural vibrato is not something you see in a lot of people. What's that?
I vote Greg. Greg.
Greg, good.
I would. My mother would be very upset if I tried to imitate Johnny Mathis. So I'm just leaving. I'm going to leave it be.
Nice. Singer Basha is 68. She was born in Poland. Barbara Czeskaleska. She was known for the 80s hits Time and Tide and Cruising for Bruising. Fish frontman Trey Anastasio is 60 years old today. Bette Midler was awarded $400,000 in a lawsuit against Ford Motor Company this day in 1989. And this is how I've learned. I used to love this commercial that grabbed some of her song, Do You Want to Dance? Here's the 1985 commercial for the Mercury Sable.
Do you want to dance?
Oh.
There's a car that just asks to be driven.
So there's your Mercury Sable.
Only the
driven. Now that I found out, that's not Bette Midler. That's one of her backup singers, Ulla Hedwig. And
ex backup singers probably after that.
Probably, yeah, yeah. So anyway, with that verdict, it meant companies could no longer purposefully imitate the vocals of a famous singer without their consent. Singer Patrice Rushen is 70 years old today, had a big hit in 1982 that got her a Grammy nomination.
God, I love this song.
One of those songs, one of the many that Will Smith had to rip off, you know, to do Men in Black in this case.
I always think of the movie Big.
Angie Dickinson is still with us. She is 93 years old today. Policewoman. Loved that show back in the day. Brady Bunch. Loved that show back in the day. Greg Brady, Barry Williams, is 70 years old today.
Yeah, you're old.
Yep. Fran Drescher is 67 years old today.
And imitate her.
Record producer T-Pain is 40. Former Packer David Bakhtiari is 33. Exile had the number one hit this day in 1978.
This one's definitely on my playlist.
Yep.
I should get
the Mercury Sable commercial too. Yeah.
I can never not think of Billy Madison when I hear this song.
We're just going to do the music segment's just going to become soundtrack memories with Greg Bach.
Also, like, just women, if a guy said that to you, we'd be like, no, thank you. It's fine.
Yeah. Right? Mariah Carey on this day in 1995, her song Fantasy became the second ever single to debut at number one on the Hot 100. And on this day in 1939, NBC broadcast the first televised football game. And they didn't charge for it because they couldn't back then, but now they'll slap it on Peacock and make you pay extra to get it. Today is International Podcast Day, International Translation Day. It is Extra Virgin Olive Oil Day for reasons we can't pretend to understand. It's Glucose Awareness Week, National Chewing Gum Day. And then on a serious note, this is Orange Shirt Day. If you notice people wearing orange shirts at their workplace or wherever, it is a day of remembrance for Indigenous peoples in Canada primarily, but the U.S. as well, and children that were ripped away and forced to attend schools where they were essentially decultured. And I bring this up especially in light of, you know, Donald Trump's comments over the weekend about, you know, they're coming to take our culture, which is really rich coming from, you know, an old rich white guy. Selena Heller, what are we going to talk about in the next hour? I believe we're getting a dance perspective on IVF.
Yes, we are. We haven't done that so far. So we're going to talk with a dad who has two beautiful little girls because of IVF.
Good. And you know, speak up on behalf of the guys who don't want to. You're going to like the way he puts it. Like, look, that you already know your partner's going through a lot with pregnancy or trying to get pregnant and everything else. So stick around for that. Kristen Lyerly's here. Greg Box, Selena Heller, Pat Kreitlow, Brittany Merlot's forecast on the way. You're up north.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.